Welcome back, you guys, to the Booty Bands More Than Fitness podcast. And today's title is Turning Tragedy into Triumph. Welcome to the Booty Bands More Than Fitness podcast. Join us because we're making it possible for busy women to sculpt and tone in just 15 minutes a day. It's your time to celebrate you, unleash your empowered self, and step back into your confidence. You can visit our store, bootybands.com, for the best female fitness products out there and subscribe so you get notifications when every episode drops. Let's get right into it. Let's meet Melissa. Holy cow. Melissa Impet. She is a spiritual life coach who works with people who are seeking an alternative to traditional therapy. Now we're going to get real. We're going to get real, real. So hopefully you guys can grab your journal and listen in because she is going to give some awesome nuggets for today. We got three steps on how to really turn this tragedy that you're going through into triumph. Let's go. Melissa, your story is so intriguing to me as far as the title, Turning Tragedy into Triumph. And the reason why I like this is because I think all of us have experienced some level of tragedy in our life. Absolutely. So I think this is a very relatable topic today. So you have told me a little bit about where your journey started and how you kind of were like hating your body and like this old version of Melissa. So can you guide us through where you began?
Oh my goodness, Danita. I remember so vividly sitting in my old house that I grew up in. Young girl, so lost, so confused, grabbing the fat on my thighs, wanting to just take a kitchen knife and like cut the fat off my thighs because I was so tired of feeling them chafing. Like I'm getting emotional thinking about it now. Like I was so tired of feeling that chafing between my thighs. All of the girls around me were so thin. It was the time of like the Victoria's Secret model era. And I just didn't look like that. And it was so painful. And really caused me to have this unhealthy relationship with my body.
Definitely already getting emotional. Holy cow, it's not even a minute into the podcast.
I know, I'm like already tearing up.
So I can absolutely relate with that. So the fact that you said, yeah, getting the knife and cutting, I honestly had that same memory. Gosh. So you're bringing me back to myself too. So take me through it. You even had more of this like traumatic experience. Bring us down. Like what was this like self-sabotage cycle you were living in?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that I always love to share about trauma is, you know, there's not really a scale of worse trauma or better trauma, right? Anything that's happened in our life that caused that impact is valid. So, you know, when I was younger, I went through a traumatic situation where my best friend in the entire world, he was my stepfather. He was an older gentleman and he was just like my role model, my inspiration, my everything. He choked to death at my friend's birthday party. And it happened in front of me and my mom wasn't there. I was really the only one there. And it was horrifying. It was a nightmare, literally playing out in front of my eyes. And from that moment, the trauma impacted me so deeply. And as a 10-year-old little girl, I didn't know how to process those emotions, you know? So I turned to seeking attention. I turned to using my body as a way to try to find love or attention or validation from men. So it really turned into this scary situation of me not respecting myself in any way because I just was looking for that love that Pete had provided for me, you know? So I was using my body as a tool to feel as if I could be validated or approved. And it brought me down some pretty scary paths. So from there, you know, I was doing a lot of things that I thought were helping me heal, you know, trying to find people to pay attention to me or guys that would drive me around because I didn't even have my license yet, you know. And what happened is I started hanging out with a lot older crew and the older crew started introducing me to alcohol and drugs. And then I was using these as ways to numb myself, essentially, you know? So I was, instead of working through the trauma and the pain, I was learning these coping mechanisms that I could just smoke weed and get high and giggle all afternoon, instead of really looking at some of the, you know, some of the things that my mom had me in therapy for, you know? But hanging out with the older kids, it was much more fun and exciting to do things that felt bad. And, you know, I felt like I was the bad girl and everyone liked me because I was the bad little girl, you know, and it just brought me down this path of really not taking care of my body in the way that I do now, that's for sure.
Yeah, wow. I know you now, and that's a whole like
180 yeah. flip.
That's so different than the person I know you as. So this is obviously so fascinating.
And you know, that's why I love using this quote. You know, it's amazing to take our tragedy and really turn it into triumph. Mm-hmm. You know, I could have continued going down a really scary path. You know, a lot of my friends from childhood ended up going to juvie, and they ended up going to jail and a lot of scary situations. And it's quite a miracle that, you know, I chose to take some of this trauma and tragedy and use it as a way to fuel myself and my future. And I'm grateful, you know, it took hitting kind of like a rock bottom. I got sent to, I went to 4 different high schools, 2 of them being boarding schools. And that's when I kind of hit my rock bottom because I got kicked out. I got immediate dismissal in the first 4 months of a new school. And it sent me to a Boston public school, and I literally got scared straight. I had gotten to this new low, and that's really what helped me realize I got myself here. The decisions that I were making every single day is what got me to this point. And if I got myself this low, I could bring myself back up. I knew I had it in me. And that's really where I started transitioning into more leadership and more understanding how I could use my energy as a way to serve others instead of using my energy as a way to kind of knock myself down over and over again.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, there is always a pivotal point. So you have to mm-hmm. hit a pivotal point in your life where you make the decision yeah. to change. And in that yeah. moment, it was because, like, bring us to that point. You were just so scared of being where you were at that you were like, I definitely have hit my low, and I'm ready to make a change where I'm hitting something different. Right.
Yeah. And I love how you highlighted that, because it's a pivotal moment that we have to experience for ourselves. You know, I had different therapists, I had different people in my life, but it's not up to anyone else. It's really a point that we have to hit, unfortunately. As many people as we have that are loving us and supporting us and wanting the best for us, it's like we almost got to get to that point of being sick and tired of being sick and tired yeah. before we actually make a change.
And that's a great topic, because our low is not somebody else's low.
Yes.
And so our parents might be looking at us and going, oh my gosh, I've already hit my low. As a parent, they're like, my low is hit. Like, oh, please get out of this. It's not anybody's decision except for our own.
And it can be painful, but we're all on our own unique journey. And that's the truth.
Mm-hmm. What I also noticed, just a side topic on this, I have noticed when you're codependent to these people that are actually needing to hit their low, but you're actually making it so their low never really becomes their low.
Ooh, because that's juicy. Yep.
Yeah. So I have noticed that there is a balance between being dependent or codependent, where we're actually doing too much for those people, that actually we need to pull ourselves back, allow them to hit that space where then they make that decision on their own.
Yeah, I always think about the shoes that my mom was in, you know, watching me go through all of this. It must have been so challenging for her watching all of this, knowing that she couldn't control, no one could, I couldn't even control myself at that point. So she had no control. So I know it must have been really challenging, but I'm grateful that she did kind of back away a bit, because I did. I had to hit that place on my own. And as hard as it was for her, it was pivotal in my journey.
Well, and then it becomes your why. Then yeah. it becomes your strength. Now, because Absolutely. Of how low you've been, you know that darkness, that's why you go just as high to reach the opposite. And so that is important to know, those that are listening, if you have maybe a loved one or even yourself, sometimes we do have to hit those rock bottom moments. And I know that sucks. Mm-hmm. And that's life. But I will tell you that if you're in that moment right now, it's going to be your most amazing story, just like as Melissa's telling us now. So as you're going through those hard times, remember that there is always an opposite. There are called laws of the universe, that there's not such thing as you're always going to stay on bottom. You will be on top, and eventually this will become your most powerful story.
If you take that trauma and you turn that tragedy into triumph, you know, when you flip that and you know that you can use that as your fuel moving forward. And that's really what I would love to share today, 3 tips to heal from some of the tragedy and the trauma and turn that into your greatest motivation moving forward.
So let's go into that. You actually just read my mind. So let's go into step number one. What is the first step to really heal the trauma and allow yourself to go into your highest self?
The first step is, it's a challenging one, but it's one that sets us free. And it's this idea of forgiveness. So forgiveness work is something that when I first heard about it, I'm like, what are you talking about? How am I going to forgive some of these people that have caused me the most pain in my life? It just didn't make sense to me that I was going to forgive some of these people, you know, especially thinking about some of the men in my life that had sexually assaulted me and taken advantage of me. The thought of forgiving them just completely blew my mind. I'm grateful that I had a mentor at the time who really helped walk me through this, because forgiveness can be challenging, especially if you have a lot of deep pain. But forgiveness is a tool to set ourselves free. It's not to let the other person off the hook in any way. It's not saying that what the other person did wasn't wrong. It's more so to find this freedom within ourselves. So the way that I love thinking about it is like a charcoal grill. If you think of a charcoal grill and you have those charcoals in there, they're really hot. They're like red, red hot. If we're not forgiving people, if we're choosing not to forgive people, it's like we're standing there holding on to one of those coals. In reality, we are the only ones getting burned. The other person isn't. The other person might not even be impacted at all about the resentment that you hold on to. It's truly just burning yourself. Yeah. So this forgiveness component was something that helped me be able to release some of the anger, the frustration, the sadness, the pain, the resentment that I had been holding on to. And it was literally in my energetic field, keeping me in a lower vibrational state.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Absolutely. So
this first step, you know, I suggest doing letters. I love forgiveness letters and kind of going through the layers of different emotions. So you want to start at the deepest layer, hate, anger, resentment, get it all out. I like to say with clients, empty the tank, you know, write it out. Why are you angry? Why do you hate this person? Why are you mad? Why do you hold all of this in you? Let it all out so that way you can get yourself to a place of forgiving the situation and setting yourself free.
Absolutely love this one. There's two things that come up for me so far on this. One is, we know that hurt people hurt people, right? So I like that you said writing a letter, because sometimes when we actually go to these people, maybe it's not possible. Maybe they're not even around anymore, but I think it's really about clearing the energy within yourself, because you said it is a low vibration and we attract that vibration, as you know, and you talk about it all the time. So I think the most importantly is being able to, even as you're writing it out, understanding why maybe they did these things. And when you ask yourself that, you'll start to find out that they were also hurt, and that's why they hurt, right? Yeah. And it becomes a train. And so what's beautiful about forgiveness is it stops the train, because when you're hurt, think of all the people that you have actually hurt. Imagine your mom being hurt of all the actions you've done, right? And so imagine all the people we've hurt along the way when we were going through our own pain. And so then it kind of creates this, like, this mirror effect of realizing how we really can forgive based off of knowing that this person was in a really low time, because not happy people go and hurt people. It's not a thing, right? But something I really want to ask you, the second thing I wanted to bring up, was you written on here about forgiving yourself though.
Yes, I was just going to mention that next. Yeah, you know, after we do this work with forgiving others, then it's time to look at ourselves. You know, what is it that you have to forgive yourself for? And this was so pivotal in my journey, because I was mad at myself. I was disappointed in myself. I was frustrated with myself. You know, I didn't even want to look at myself in the mirror most of the time, because I was just disgusted. And how am I going to get to this beautiful place, living this high vibrational life where I'm attracting things and miracles are showing up all the time, if I have hatred towards myself? It just doesn't add up. You know, so that self-forgiveness component was so important. I needed to be able to look, and this is where I suggest mirror work, looking at yourself and saying, Melissa, I forgive you. I love you. You're figuring this out. You've got this. Keep going, keep going, keep going. You're always growing. You're always learning. And this is something that I do to this day, every single day, especially when I'm working out. I love doing forgiveness work while I'm working out.
That's great. And let's even hone it in a little bit, even more detailed as far as the topic today of, we know that a lot of us are trying to either lose weight or try to get into our best body. And so, you know, I think this is such a great one because I always ask members, do you think it was the donut that made you fat? Or do you think it was the guilt and shame
after the donut? Yes.
And it's, we can either take that donut and make it into that guilt and shame that lasts a week or a month or even years, or that forgiveness of ourselves eating the donut. We had something, AKA bad. We labeled it bad and go, you know what? I forgive myself and my next meal is going to be better. So forgiveness overall, whether it's a traumatic event, whether it's the route we took ourselves on, or if it's just having a skipped workout or a bad meal.
Absolutely changes your energy. It really, really does. And this brings me perfectly into the second step, which is this idea of meeting your higher self. I am a spiritual woo-woo person, I will tell you that. So this idea of meeting your higher self, you know, is this idea of meeting your internal guide. Your inner guide, the little angel. I always talk about a little angel on one shoulder, a little devil on the other. The little angel sitting on one shoulder is your higher self. That little devil sitting on the other shoulder, that's more so your ego, okay? And your higher self always has your best interests at heart and never holds anything against you. So this idea of forgiveness, I like to say it's sunny, saying, Melissa, it's okay. It's all right. Release that. Release the inner critic, you know, and come back to your truth. So my higher self, her name is Sunny. I think that naming your higher self, if you've never done that before, it's a beautiful exercise. It just creates this connection. Like, Sunny is my best friend. I wake up every single morning. I'm like, good morning, Sunny. How am I supposed to show up today? What will you have me do? What will you have me say? You know, and just because you were mentioning donuts around food, sometimes I'll have a conversation with Sunny and say, is this a good decision for me, Sunny? Is this a good decision? And I let her answer. If it is a good decision, then she's going to let me know that. You know, it's a beautiful way to get this connection with your intuition.
Yeah. Wow. I love that.
Your higher self always has your best interests. She knows your best path. She knows what's meant for you. She knows how to be most self-honoring, you know, and this is truly how I started manifesting my dream body, because this version of Sunny already existed. So I had like this image of what Sunny looked like, and I knew that that was so possible for me. And that's what helped me make my decision with the workouts that I wanted to do, the foods that I wanted to eat, the way that I wanted to take care of myself, because I started acting as if I already was that.
That's really cool. I like that. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. All these great nuggets, you guys. These are so great. Nuggets. So make sure if you haven't been taking notes already, make sure to grab your journal and jump into it, because we're now on step three.
We're on step three. Yeah. This one is so important. And I know you share this with your community all the time. It is that finding grace component. You know, we don't want to rush the come up. It's one of my favorite things to remind myself. Don't rush the come up. You know, don't rush your results, because when we rush things, that's usually when we sink into some type of disappointment or some type of low vibrational energy. You know, so when it came to healing from my trauma to be able to turn it into this triumph, I had to be easy with myself. You know, I knew this higher version of myself was emerging. I knew that there was so much more possible for me, but I had to be easy and meet myself with grace along the way. I couldn't beat myself up for, like you said, a missed meal or a missed workout, or, you know, saying that I was gonna journal and then I didn't end up journaling. You know, it's like this fine line of being able to show up for ourselves and do the self-honoring things, but not fall into that place of being disappointed or down on ourselves when things don't happen in the most quote unquote perfect way. Yeah. Finding that grace is essential.
So let's use an example. What's one that maybe somebody could stick it to?
Mm-hmm. As far as finding grace?
Yeah, like take us through like a time, the last time that you were giving yourself grace. Like think of a time recently, if you can, that you were about ready to take yourself into self-sabotage or the old way or not Sunny's way. And then what was finding grace for you? What was that flip and how'd you do it?
Yeah, so a perfect example would be, you know, especially coming out of COVID where, you know, I totally got out of my routine. I don't know about anyone else, but I was not in the gym the way that I had been. And for the old version of Melissa, it could have been like this detrimental place of you gained weight, you lost muscle, what are you doing? You're slipping backwards, like this visualization of slipping down the mountain. And that's not the case. You know, if you never give up on yourself and your goals, you're always in momentum. You know, sometimes we need a little bit of a backstep in order to learn how important it is for us to stay in our routines and our habits. So I had to find that grace with myself. Even though you didn't get to work out the way that you usually do for a few months, it doesn't mean anything about you. You don't have to label yourself as lazy or, you know, I used to always label myself as a procrastinator, you know, and those were just negative things that were creating negative energy in my life. So it wasn't helping me get back into my routine. So I met myself with grace and I said, it's okay. It's all right. You're going to get back to it because you love the way you feel when you're in your routine. And that's the absolute truth.
Absolutely. And the one I use is embrace your season, because there's going to be different seasons that we're in, right? Like maybe we're a mother and we've got three children, or maybe we're this busy entrepreneur, wherever we're at, it's really embracing where you're at.
It's nice. It really kind of ties these three steps together because it takes the forgiveness in order to meet yourself with grace. And it's the remembrance that your higher self.
What a powerful podcast. What a powerful person. Melissa, you're just so, I love it. I love seeing your journey. And if you guys haven't been able to meet Melissa, I will tell you this, her Instagram is loaded with high energy, nothing but positivity. So that's kind of a cool thing to maybe even give yourself that realization that what you are trying to push out in the world, that's what people are seeing.
Oh, thank you. You know, and it's just, especially just reflecting on my story. It's just, it's so beautiful because the people who knew me back then where I was like, you know, in risk of getting myself in legal trouble, it's just, it's beautiful to show that you can make a 180 in your life. You absolutely can take the pain, the tragedy, the triumph and turn it, I mean, pain, tragedy, and turn that into triumph. It's so possible for anyone.
So where are you guys at right now? Do you have an injury that you're struggling through? Was there a death that just happened? Is it coming out of COVID that was just such a nightmare? What type of thing are you facing right now that you can step into your best self by these three steps? It was forgiveness, meeting your higher self and finding grace to really do that 180. And hopefully this podcast is it. And you make that this is day one. It's not one day anymore that you take this and you say, you know what, this is my time to flip my 180 just like Melissa did.
Oh, I've got full body chills. You've got this.
Where can they go and follow you?
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast sharing this conversation with you. Instagram for sure. I love Instagram story. I'm there every single day, Melissa Impat. I also have a podcast called Beautifully Built. So you can check out the Beautifully Built podcast as well.
Well, thanks again for your time. It was awesome having you on here. Hopefully we can see you again in the future, and lots of love and cheers to you, babe.
Thank you.
Awesome. Wrapping up, we hope that this left you with some valuable information that you can help with improving your mind, your body, and your life. Really, we're about helping you step into your best self, and that's why we do these weekly, so that we can hear from you and how it resonated. So go ahead and write us a review, and we will pick weekly giveaways on our unique booty bands to give away. So thank you guys so much for listening. It was awesome having you on. I'm very excited to leave your review. Make sure to hit subscribe so that you can get notified on any future podcasts that come out. And of course, join the community and join the app called Booty Bands and Barbells, where you'll find us in the workouts, the meal plan, and of course, all the fun challenges. I'll see you soon, and I'll see you in the workouts.